As always, we have got you covered at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, and it is now time to turn our attention to the AFC West as the Denver Broncos continue to impress, especially after last weekend's furious finish and that big, big rally. They ran off 38 points against the Redskins, and Peyton Manning, he may have his share of injuries that he has had to battle through, but he shows no residual effects after those four neck surgeries. He, and playing, of course, you know, on that sore ankle. I mean, he is just playing fantastic. It's just been remarkable what he's doing each and every week. So Denver certainly has the league's best offense. We are delighted to welcome in a gentleman who knows exactly what life is like as a Denver Bronco and life in the National Football League. That is Nate Jackson. He played six seasons as a tight end with the Broncos, and he's going to share his odyssey and time in the NFL. He, of course, has a brand new book that is out. It is titled Slow Getting Up, A Story of NFL Survival from the Bottom of the Pile. Hi, Nate. It's great to have you with us this weekend.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you with us, as I said, and I'm sure that you can identify, maybe not with the four neck surgeries, but you can certainly identify with Peyton Manning and all of his bruises and all the things that he's had to go through. It has been an amazing run so far for Denver at the midpoint of the season.
Yeah, it has, and like you said, Peyton is dealing with some injuries, but he's not the only one dealing with injuries. I'd say probably 99% of NFL players at this point in the season are dealing with those injuries. They're dealing with the pain, the bumps and the bruises. We just hear about Peyton because he's Peyton, but they got 53 guys over there really, really playing well together right now. Of course, Peyton Manning is the catalyst, but those guys are playing really well. They have the support of the city. It's an awesome football town, and they're playing great.
Well, the 2013 season certainly has lived up to expectations on many, many levels. You're talking about offensively, Peyton Manning. They're so explosive. But what about, I think they're in the hunt now. They're really turning the corner, it seems like, defensively. You got to like how they're making progress there.
Yeah, their defense has been playing great all season. The hard part about about playing on a defense when your offense is that successful is you're going to get the other team's best shot on offense. They're going to be airing the ball out, trying to keep pace with your team's explosive offense. And so their defense has a tough job trying to, you know, pick up where Peyton left off. But they're doing a great job. The thing about the NFL is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's only halfway through the season. And so they're telling each other, look, guys, we're getting all these accolades right now and telling us how great we are. We can't listen to them. We have to prepare like we prepare every week. We got to prepare like every week's a Super Bowl. And that's what they're doing in there because Peyton Manning is so experienced. He's been through all this stuff before. He understands the media narrative, and he understands that the best way to deal with that is to tune him out and go to work every day.
Well, the schedule certainly works out to their favor. I mean, having a bye this weekend, and hopefully, Peyton, if you're a Bronco fan, he can heal up some.
Yeah, that bye week is really crucial. You don't really realize how worn down your body is until you take a step back, until you step off of the field, until you go home and relax for a few days and you realize how bad you needed it, especially Peyton Manning. He's not a young man anymore. I don't know what he is. He's
37.
But he's been 37. He's been through a lot of injuries. Like you said, those four neck surgeries. He's got some bum ankles. And it'll be good for him and the rest of the guys to not only let their bodies rest, but let their minds rest. It's good to step outside of that whirlwind for a little bit. Go spend some time with your families and recharge the battery.
Former Denver Bronco tight end Nate Jackson is with us and joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Let's take time now, Nate, to move ahead and preview your brand new book. It is titled Slow Getting Up, A Story of NFL Survival from the Bottom of the Pile. And it really does, you share so much about what life is like as a pro football player. Not only, you were just talking about the demands physically, but also mentally as well. And you did not hold back. You were not bashful, Nate.
Well, no, I wasn't bashful, and I figured if I'm going to write a book, I shouldn't be bashful. I should lay it out all out on the table, be honest about what the experience was like for me and for my friends. Not that Peyton Manning life, you know, we love to talk about our superstars, but really the experience is not that. It's not that for 95% of the guys, and so I wanted to represent those guys and my peers in an effective way, without being too sentimental or nostalgic, but just laying it out there and telling a true story about the NFL.
And Nate, it is really a reminder of just how violent football can be. You put your mind, your body through hell each and every week. What kept you going? Did you ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired and just feeling so fragile all the time?
Yeah, of course. It's a recurring thought. Every guy gets it, especially if you have a string of injuries. And I had a string of injuries, and it would made me doubt it, but the opposite was stronger. I was propelled by some really powerful forces. I was drawn to the game. I was drawn to the competition. I was drawn to the hype, to the energy around it. I always thought it was my destiny to play football. Of course, the money is great, the way people treat you. It's all just a really, it's a combination of things that keeps you moving and pushing towards this goal of football fame or whatever it is. It's your better sensibilities when your body's telling you to stop. There's something powerful at work there.
Nate Jackson is joining us from Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's sharing his time with his former team. That, of course, is the Denver Broncos, talking about his new book, Slow Getting Up, a story of NFL survival from the bottom of the pile. And I think what is really, really amazing, you're a story of inspiration. I mean, you went to a Division III school, a player from a small school that beat the odds and made it to the NFL. How did you get your big break?
Well, I got a little lucky, actually. Bill Walsh used to come to our games in the at Menlo College, where I went to school, and he saw me make some great catches and had some real big games in front of him. I was a 49er fan growing up, and I'm from San Jose, so I was going to school in the Bay Area, had those Bay Area ties, that 49er love, and it really was just a perfect storm. I was able to play in front of the right people at the right time who said some nice things about me. That got the ball rolling, and it made my confidence go up, but really, when you step out on the field, you have to do it. You have to do it day in and day out. Nobody's going to do you any favors or stick out their neck for you unless you can handle it. And so it helped me gain the confidence that I needed. But once I got out there, it was just believing my ability, going to work day in and day out, trying to get better and compete. One thing that we think sometimes is that the big show or these guys are so good. You know, they're too good for me. And I was at this Division III school, and people were telling me that. They were telling me, No way, you can't play at that level. No way, what are you thinking? But then I got signed and I stepped on the field with those guys and I realized that they're just guys. They're human beings with weaknesses, with fears. Granted, they are big, bad, really skilled, really athletic human beings, but they're human. And so I gained more confidence when I stepped out on the field, and it was a daily grind. Of course, it was never easy, but that challenge was really rewarding for me, and it's something that I look back on fondly.
What I thought was really amazing, too, is, you know, to be signed as an unsigned as a free agent, and then how you rose through the practice squad to what even the starting lineup. What was that first start like?
The first start was cool, but I didn't really have much time to really bask in it or appreciate it. The thing about the NFL is it's happening so fast. It's so urgent. There's so much energy. You don't have time to step back and appreciate where you are, or appreciate where you've come from, or appreciate the moment at all, because the moment needs your undivided attention, and being sentimental about a moment will get you crushed, it'll get you hurt. And so I didn't even really notice that I was starting until they told me right before the game, because it was a two tight end package that was starting on the field, so two tight ends were starting that game. I was on for the first play, and then I was right back off the field waiting, and then I was back on and off and on. I played a ton of special teams, and so the special teams were really my first forte, usually, that I was concerned about, because I was on all the special teams. But there's so much going on in the mind of a player that really the start just kind of blew past me.
What was it like to play for Coach Mike Shanahan during your time at Denver and being a part of his system?
It was a really great experience. Coach Shanahan gave me a job when my football career was dead in the water. I was pretty much done in San Francisco, and he decided to take a look at me and liked what I brought to the table and gave me a job, and he handled the organization in a really classy way. He came from the 49er pedigree and coached under the system that Bill Walsh started, and so he brought that to Denver, and it really felt like a classy organization with really strong veteran leadership. He treated us all very well, first-class accommodations on the road, the travel, the food, the hotels. Everything was first rate. That was also a credit to Pat Bowlen, the owner. They worked really well together, and they gave us really everything we needed to succeed and treated us like men along the way. You have a trend these days, not all coaches, but some coaches don't treat their players with respect. They don't treat them like adults. They treat them like children, or they treat them like they're in the military, or they treat them like they're trying to brainwash them, and they don't give them the sacrifice, or they don't give them the respect their sacrifice deserves. And the thing is, you see that translate onto the field. These players don't care about their coaches, the coaches who act like that, and so they don't care if they win or lose. They don't care about the coach's plan if they don't respect the coach. And so there's a fine line that a coach needs to walk between being a disciplinarian, being hard on his guys, but also being compassionate and sympathetic to what they're going through. And I thought Coach Shanahan did a good job of doing that.
Nate, how hard is it as an NFL player to get to know your coach? Does the environment, does that really prevent that type of intimacy? I mean, obviously you found favor with him and the owner, but did you really get a chance to get to know Mike?
Slowly over the years, it was a slow process because, like you said, it is difficult to get to know your coach because every time you're associating with him, every interaction is football related. It's on the field or it's in the meeting room, and everybody has a task to do. Everyone is preoccupied mentally. Everyone is tense. Everyone is trying to do their best. There's not a lot of room for moments to let your guard down and talk about things other than football and talk about your family or your upbringing or your likes or your dislikes or music or anything like that. So it is hard to get to know your coach, but over the years there are moments where, you know, these moments of repose where you can step back and talk to them, you know, on the bus or at a party or some charity function or something like that. And over the years I did get to know Mike. I wish I had gotten to know him better, just like I wish I'd have gotten to know most of those coaches and most of my teammates and most of those guys better, because we were in this football bubble where football was everything. And but Mike is a good man, and everyone really in the Denver Broncos organization left a really strong impression on me. I think they're all really great people.
What was your experience like with Josh McDaniels?
Fairly limited. He was the guy who ended my career in Denver pretty unceremoniously. I was around the facility dealing with a hamstring injury that had ended my previous season when he was hired. And so he came in, and I decided to go upstairs and introduce myself to the new head coach. We're about the same age. He was only a couple years older than me, and we both went to Division III colleges, and so I assumed that we'd have a lot in common, we'd get along, and he'd be excited to have a D3 guy there. And I went upstairs and introduced myself, and it was kind of strange from the start. He didn't really look me in the eye. You know, I could tell he had his own agenda, and I probably wasn't part of it. I left that office knowing that I was likely in trouble, and then I was cleared about a week later and went back home for the off season, and then about 3 or 4 weeks later, I was cut. But they called my parents' house line and left a message on their answering machine. That's how I was cut from the Broncos. And when I called back Josh McDaniels to get an explanation, his male secretary answered the phone and told me he'd call me back, and he never did. So that's how I know of Josh McDaniels. I don't know him personally, really. I'm sure he's a great guy, but my experience with him was less than stellar.
Nate Jackson has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've been breaking down his brand new book. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled Slow Getting Up, A Story of NFL Survival from the Bottom of the Pile. Congratulations, Nate, on it. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. And I know you're following those Broncos real close, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.